Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome. I'm Chris Graham. We're going to talk some UVA sports today. We'll start with good news. There's good news and bad news. It's always good to start with good news. Mamadou Diakite is back in the NBA. 10 days at least. Hey, we'll take it. If you're an UVA fan, Diakite signing a 10-day hardship deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He signed this deal on Tuesday. Actually was on the bench for the Thunder last night in D.C. as OKC played the Washington Wizards, a 122-118 loss. Ty Jerome, another UVA alum, 12 points on 6 of 10 shooting off the bench for the Thunder in the setback. But Diakite was there. He got some NBA money last night. He'll get it for the next 9 days anyway. Diakite, you may remember, appeared in 2 preseason games for OKC, and then he fractured his hip. And then in a sort of dick move by the team, he was released. There's no other way to put that. You get hurt, there should be something instead of getting released. But Diakite played in 14 games for the 2021 NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks last year, scored 3.1 points per game, got some garbage time action in the playoffs for the Bucks. Really showed himself well in the G League for the Bucks team in Lakeland, Florida, average 18.5 points, 10.3 rebounds per game. Had Bucks fans clamoring to have the team call him up to the main roster. They finally did, and then after the season was over and gave him a ring, they let him go. As a senior at UVA in 2019-2020, before COVID cut that season short, he averaged 13.7 points, 6.8 rebounds per game. You may remember his starring role for Virginia in the 2019 NCAA tournament. Averaged 10.5 points, 8.2 rebounds per game, 60% shooting. And boy, he was instrumental in the comeback win in the first round against Gardner Webb. It was 8 of 10 in that game. So Diakite is back in the NBA on a 10-day hardship deal with OKC. You might remember from a couple of days ago, the news was that the Miami Heat had signed Kyle Guy to a second 10-day deal. Word out of Miami is that the team is trying to figure out a way to keep Guy for the rest of the season. Miami's 25-15, I think third in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, they'd love to have Guy around as part of their mix. Once they get everybody back, they'd still like to have him there. One of the issues is the luxury tax. You have to figure out maybe to release a guy, trade a guy for a draft pick, something like that to avoid the luxury tax. But the word from Eric Spoelstra, the Heat coach, longtime coach, is that they're trying to figure out a way to do that. So keep Guy around. They like what they see in him. And having watched him, they were on the West Coast last week, so a lot of late nights for me watching the NBA League pass. But Guy fits in really well with the way Miami plays. So it'd be nice to see that for him and for the Heat as well. It's fun watching the Heat. I hope I have to still keep doing that because it's fun watching that team play. And so now to the bad news. The fourth of the 4 UVA linemen to put their name in the transfer portal is gone. So headline of the story on AFP, and then there were none. Technically, there's still one guy, if you want to say it, who's left from last year who played significant time. But Ryan Swoboda was the latest to transfer. The 6'10 giant is headed to Central Florida. He's the last one out. Turn out the lights. He joins 2 other O-line starters from 2021. Olusegun Olubatemi, who's going to Michigan. Bobby Haskins on his way to Southern Cal. A guy who started 4 games, Joe Bissinger, is headed to SMU. Chris Glazer is done with eligibility, played 5 seasons, and thanks for all of his hard work. 12 starts this past year, a 72.3 PFF, Pro Football Focus grade. The only guy left from the starting lineup is Ryan Nelson. 12 starts, 806 snaps, 69.7 PFF grade. He has a year of eligibility left. He hasn't put his name in the transfer portal yet. So congratulations, Garrett Touje. You're the incumbent and holdover offensive line coach for this staff, staying on from the Bronco Mendenhall regime. And you've got him to work with. Jonathan Leach, who had 2 starts and 83 snaps last year. And then a bunch of young guys. So it's hard to figure. Tony Elliott comes in and these guys are all heading out. I mean, I guess you can see it a little bit. Olubatemi's going to Michigan, a chance to play for a team that made a playoff this year. Bobby Haskins heading out to Southern Cal, where Lincoln Riley is hoping to build a winner really quick. So Bowden, Central Florida. I mean, he's going back home, I guess. He's a Florida native, Central Florida area native. Bissinger headed back to SMU. He's from Dallas-Fort Worth. Okay, you know, I can see going back home. Maybe this is why it's incumbent that you recruit your state better. These guys are going away. They're not from here, and they're going back to where they're from. It's huge loss for this Virginia team. I mean, you look at everything else Virginia's got coming back offensively. Brennan Armstrong is the key there. He's coming back. You got your two leading receivers, actually, possibly your third as well, but your two leading guys, Billy Kemp the fourth, your leading pass catcher in terms of number of receptions, Dontavian Wicks, your leader in receiving yards. You get Lavelle Davis back, Lavelle Davis Jr., back from an ACL injury in the spring. You may still get Keaton Thompson back. If you do, then my goodness, what a group you'd have there, right? Your running game will get a renewed emphasis with Tony Elliott. He was close to a 50-50 guy in his time as offensive coordinator at Clemson. You know he wants to run a lot more than Robert and I did, which is easy because anybody could decide to run the ball a lot more than Robert and I. People who, you know, 10-year-old kids who play Madden football run the ball more than Robert and I. But in the case of Elliott, he's got guys like Mike Hollins and Ronnie Walker and Ahmad Faustin, among others, to build around as far as the run game goes. But you got to be able to block for him. And you had Ole Bitemi, a second-team All-American at center. You had guys who had great pro football focus ratings, or at least good. I shouldn't say great, but good ratings, solid ratings in Swoboda and Haskins. And, you know, I mentioned you lose Glazer. Glazer's a guy who's just done with his eligibility, played 5 years. He used his COVID year and COVID redshirt year in 2021. Nelson academically a senior this year. He's played four seasons, but he'll have a COVID redshirt year to use next year as well. And again, not heard that he's going anywhere, not heard that he's going to be done with football. I'll presume, at least for the purposes of this discussion, that he's coming back. And then a lot of young guys. So that's something for Tony Elliott and his staff, obviously, to address. Des Kitchings, his new offensive coordinator. We've seen that there's activity. They've got offers out to some linemen. They've got offers out, really, the staff to a lot of the other needs are defensive line, linebacker. I'm guessing secondary as well on defense. The offensive line is probably the first priority, if you can say. Get this team because they do have so much else. The skill positions are so strong in terms of the guys coming back that if they can build the offensive line back up, and then you can worry about the rest. That's good from there. So that's the news out of Charlottesville as far as football goes. Now, I'm recording this podcast on Wednesday. Tonight at 9:00, a late tip. Hate those late tips, especially when I'm covering the games in person. It's Virginia Tech in JPJ. And I'll be there. Scott German will be there. We'll be courtside, sort of, kind of. You don't really sit courtside anymore, but it still just sounds good. We're sort of near the court in the media section. And we'll be there live blogging during the game. We'll have my post-game quick recap, then some more stuff later tonight. Hopefully you'll wake up tomorrow with a lot of stuff to read about the game. We'll podcast sometime tomorrow with more of insight into that. But Virginia Tech, key game for both sides. Virginia Tech 0-3 in the ACC. They were a team that was talked about as a preseason contender in the ACC. Virginia was picked fourth in the ACC preseason, 3-2. They're hanging around where they're supposed to be, but not defending the home turf as well, home court as well, so far this season. Already one loss in ACC play, three losses overall at JPJ, kind of a rarity to say the least for a Tony Bennett coach team in Virginia. So a big one. I mean, for Tech, a loss, an 0-4 start. I know it's a 20-game schedule, but an 0-4 start, especially with what Tech had coming back, it's hard to figure that they could come back from that. They'd fall to 8-7 in a year. So you're in Virginia, of course. I mean, Virginia's at 9-6 overall. This is a big one for both sides. Again, check out our coverage. You'll be watching the game, I'm sure, from the cozy confines. But we'll be live blogging during the game. I'll throw those out on Twitter in case you're not aware of where to get it. It's on AugustaFreePress.com, but we'll make it easy for you to find us in a few different places and give my in-game observations, analysis, some stats that catch my eye, that maybe tell you what maybe is getting ready to happen, that kind of thing. I'm usually pretty good about that. And hopefully, uh, hopefully, well, I'm a Virginia guy. I'm rooting for a win for the Cavs tonight, the Cavaliers tonight. So that's forthcoming. Well, thank you so much for your time. Any questions you have for me to address on future podcasts, I'd love to hear from you. AugustaFreePress2@gmail.com. You can reach me that way the most easiest. DMs on Twitter, Facebook messages, that kind of thing as well, Facebook comments. Just get the questions to me, and we'll try to answer them for you as best we can. Thank you so much for your time today. We'll talk to you again soon.